Hello and welcome to the ADH Deep Dive, the show that's not about ADHD but is filled with proof it exists. My name is David J. Mund, and let me get this right. I was going to say that it's the last episode of 2023, but I guess it's the first episode of 2024. I am sipping on a hot cider with whiskey to celebrate and commemorate this joyous occasion that is the first full calendar year of the podcast. I started this in October of 2022. So the entirety of 2023 was the first full year of the podcast's existence. And man, what a strangely both validating experience and really difficult situation. Mentally, emotionally, logistically, it's kind of a difficult thing to do every week, as you've seen. I mean, this episode, even if I call it a specific number, isn't technically a full episode, as you'll see. We're going to get into some clips and some best of and highlights and moments from the year. But right now, this is just me kind of shooting the shit. As you'll see, I didn't decorate the desk for the day. I didn't spice up the background. We're just shooting raw. I did not think that I'd be doing this today. I thought I'd be doing it tomorrow morning. But when I thought about it, today is the 29th, December 29th. My band Midwest Skies has a show in Detroit at Corktown Tavern tomorrow, December 30th. So by the time this episode comes out, the show will have already happened. But I was thinking about doing this tomorrow morning before the show and talk about the show a little bit, but I probably wouldn't have ended up getting to it. And then by the time that I realized I wasn't going to have time to do it, I would have thrown a fit and then not released this episode at all. So finished up some work tonight. I was shooting some videos for some client projects that are extremely overdue at this point and now stressing me out beyond belief. But what am I trying to say? Let me sip this celebratory cider and whiskey. To be clear, this isn't like a Angry Orchard or that type of cider. It's just hot apple cider with like three or four shots of whiskey in it. It's, you know, I'm actually going to be celebrating New Year with some friends, but this is my celebration. It's just me and the dogs here at home right now. Roommates out of the house for a little bit. So I figured, let's get this. Let's shoot it. Let's do it. Let's celebrate the occasion that is the first calendar year of the ADH Deep Dive. And if you're here, that's what we're celebrating, right? So let's start with the first clip. One of the, I think, potentially best, most revealing moments about my personal character from this year. And that takes me back to an episode that I did. I don't remember if it was my first or second episode that I did. I think it must have been my first episode that I did with my good friend and my first friend, Ethan Hingston. He is lead singer in the band Live for Tomorrow, which is a band that we founded in my basement when we were just wee lads. But before the forming of the band, I hid a dark secret from Ethan that in this clip you'll learn more about. So I guess let's just let this clip speak for itself. Mine and Ethan's first fight. For about a year and a half, we are empty threat. We never once practiced. We never once played anything. And that's because I was keeping a deep, dark secret from Ethan.
A horrible truth.
I didn't want him to know that I didn't even have a drum set. I told Ethan for like a year that I had a drum set. I don't know why. Like, to this day, like, if you want to go into therapy about it. My projection was probably that, like, I was really jealous that you had the instrument and you were, like, getting good, and you had done that. Had you done your performance with Emily, or was that at the end of eighth grade?
That was the end of eighth grade. That was farewell.
Okay, that was the farewell. Either way, you were becoming known for, in my eyes, in our class of 36 people, I think. That you played guitar. And I was getting good at the snare drum. And I think there was a drum set in the classroom at the time that I was starting to experiment with. But I didn't have my own drum set. And I didn't want my best friend to know that I didn't have a drum set. And so I remember...
Do you remember what you started to say when I started to, like, push on it? Because after a while, I was like, bro, we gotta play some stuff. Like, what's
Hold
up?
Hold on. Wait, are you asking me because you remember?
Yeah.
Oh, you remember? I don't remember.
Okay, yeah. I just remember that, like, eventually when it got to the point of, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to be, like, playing some music ever or something? I know at one point that I was told that the dog had knocked it over and it was broken.
No. Yeah. I did not. No. No.
So it's like, you're just like, I can't, man. I gotta get it fixed up before we can do any of that.
I'm so ashamed of myself. I'm so ashamed.
And
I said,
and I think that was only maybe a few months or something before it finally all came apart.
I just don't know how, first of all, maybe it's because we're young, but you didn't see through that. That was ate my homework excuse. My dog knocked my drum set over.
After, like, however many months or whatever it had been that we'd been talking about doing some of this stuff, yeah, probably should have seen that as a...
Dude.
A stall.
See, I thought... I have this vague memory that, again, I don't know if it's true. It's just something that my brain has created. Of calling you and being like, it's time to tell you. Because I wouldn't have texted you. And
no.
We didn't have phones. Well, maybe we had phones.
But I got one in seventh grade, but then I couldn't even text for a couple years, I think.
I know that texts were paid for. They were like X amount of cents per text.
Yeah,
so,
they were.
Crazy.
I texted too many times.
Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for that.
Money.
Went way
I think
over.
Everybody did, and then unlimited texting became a thing.
Yep, which was great. Now imagine if you paid for your texts.
Not at all.
It's insane. It's insane. But yeah, I had to have called you because it was probably during the summer because I was too scared to tell you in person in class. And
so, like, we wouldn't have to see each other.
So I wouldn't have to see you. So then I called you again. This could be false, but I have this memory of calling you.
I remember it being a phone conversation. That much I do remember.
I remember getting it all out and then hearing, and then you hung up on me. And then I didn't hear from you the rest of the summer.
I can't confirm that, but I would believe that.
I would also believe that. I also remember then showing up to the playground or something, and you were with either some football friends or something, and I was like, oh shit, Ethan's here, we've got beef, like,
yeah, we
have beef. And the beautiful thing is, you and I never fought, we never got into, like, a physical fight. I think we've gotten in creative arguments, like, in practice or something, but I never remember, like, a fight with you.
I can remember
any gaps in our friendship were based on me lying about a drum set or just time happening. So yeah, I it never got, like, extreme, and I'm sure we patched things up as soon as because I think I remember getting the drum set and then being like,
I remember the phone call when you got the drum set pretty clearly.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah, it was another phone call.
Okay.
And I forget exactly what the setup was, but it was something to the effect of, like, just like, listen, you got to hear something or whatever. and then you like put the phone down somewhere and just like started wailing on the drum set where like I could barely hear what it was. So like, it took me a minute to even know what you were doing. But then it was like the yeah moment.
Oh shit. Is that how I patched up our friendship, or had we become friends in the meantime?
That I don't remember as well. I don't remember if like I had just gotten over it or whatever some, and we were talking at all again before that, or if it was just like the...
It's a very...
Either way, I remember it as like the hammer drop moment where we like actually really started playing music.
Yes, yeah. On the topic of Live for Tomorrow, in that episode we later discussed, we later went to a producer right near us. His name is John Eberhard. We all grew up in Lake City, a little tiny town of less than 1,000 people in northern Michigan. And I guess technically an even smaller town right around the corner, Houghton Lake. A beast was brewing. John Eberhard, an immensely talented musician, producer, recording artist. He produced one of our first singles. I think it was the first single after our first EP. And I'm very fortunate to have had him come on the podcast. For some reason, I am having the most insanely difficult time dealing with compression when I try to bring the video back up from that particular episode to tweak with. I'm not explaining this well. The main point is I don't have a full clip to show from that episode, but John is the touring bassist for a major national touring band right now that I believe is in Japan, either is in Japan currently with the band Baby Metal or just finished up a tour with Japan or in Japan with Baby Metal. The dude's just living the musician's dream, and I aspire to be a fraction of a percentage successful as he is in this music industry. Anyways, I guess I'll set the scene a little bit because all I have is this short vertical 1 minute clip, but you can hear John kind of talk about it a little bit. He's not, to my understanding, not the recording bassist, but the touring bassist. And so for one of the last shows on the tour, or just one of the shows on the tour that he was on, the band got the crowd to sing Happy Birthday to John. But I guess that twist for why that's not a normal occurrence, it's just cut to a clip, David. God. What was it like to have tens of thousands of people sing Happy Birthday to you?
To sing Happy Birthday to our friend John. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
That wasn't your birthday.
I don't know why Eric just decided that that he was gonna mess with me and
yeah,
told the crowd it was my birthday, and I just on the spot was like, oh, I guess everyone's singing.
All right, y'all, if you're watching the video version, see that skull? See this? This is not a punk house, it's a punk home banner. All of these things are available at catandcrew.com. That's right, they're the first sponsors. Catandcrew.com. Enter the promo code Monday. It's Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y, to receive 10% off of your final purchase. You can get those koozies, you can get banners, you can get earrings, you can get coasters, you can get skull planters. I think it's really cool that they decided to give ADH Deep Dive listeners an exclusive deal. Because, you know, it's cool that we're building a little audience here and that you guys get to have some sort of special perks that nobody else gets. So if you aren't familiar with it yet, go to catandcrew.com, enter the promo code Monday, M-U-N-D-A-Y at checkout, get 10% off your final order. Okay, back to the show. This next clip, to me, highlights a bit of a somber occurrence in my personal life. I guess these next two clips highlight a bit of some somber occurrences in my life, but not for the reasons that I think maybe regular listeners would be familiar with, or the reasons that you would think. So this first clip is a more authentically joyful and happy clip. It features my friend Molly Teesma, otherwise known as Faye, F-A-E, Faye Floral. She was one of my first friends that I met when I moved out here to Grand Rapids. In fact, we met on Tinder. I always think, I don't know, I think that's funny. Maybe it's not funny. Maybe you didn't laugh. I laughed. It's funny. Right? It's funny. Anyways, we met on Tinder, became very, very good friends very quickly. And soon, I think technically now, she is in the process of moving. She will no longer be living in Grand Rapids. She'll be coming to and from Grand Rapids, so I'm sure I'll see her. But she's moving to greener pastures. I think I'm going to have her back on the podcast soon, like very soon, probably within the next few weeks. So she can talk about it a little bit more. But she's moving. And she has been a huge creative inspiration for me since moving here. As you'll see in this clip, we kind of just in the moment conceptualized. And I think this clip is going to be best served visually. So if you're watching the video version, it's probably for the best in this particular instance. But I'm sure it'll all be fine if you're just listening. I'm just going to cue up a few visuals that were not in the original episode. Because this clip that I'm going to show you is a real-time manifestation or planning of a project that we inevitably went through with. We're both huge fans of LaCroix, and in this clip, Molly and I kind of jokingly, half-heartedly set up what would it be like if we did a photo shoot inspired by LaCroix, and then we did it. So if you're watching the video version, you'll have the normal banter, but I'll also include some of the images of the finished results of this clip that we talked about. And a big reason that I actually used the word manifest and why I think it was so poetic and cool that we actually did that is Molly's not just business logo as Faye Floral, but also her personal, or not logo, mantra, is just manifest happiness. That, like, happiness is a choice. It is something you have to create for yourself. And she just leans very heavily into the ideas or beliefs in manifestation or the powers of manifestation. So whatever. Shut your bald ass up and cut to the clip. As we're both big fans of a little beverage called LaCroix. Mm-hmm. And while I must admit, I've got an open one.
I do too.
I've got an open one because I drink them far too often. I've got a closed one. And it was your idea that we maybe give a little pop to start the audio. So first, let's cheers. I'll cheers this camera. You cheers that one. Okay. Cheers. And countdown 3, 2, 1.
Ooh,
God. There's nothing. There's nothing quite like it. Not a sponsor, would love it if that was the case.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine being sponsored by a sparkling water company?
Let's do like a floral collaboration with LaCroix.
Whoa.
You take
okay.
Photos. I'll do floral arrangements based on the different logos.
I was just going to say, let's talk about that. What would that look like? Because if it was like a lemon flavored LaCroix, now looking at your most recent picture with like the fruit and stuff.
Yeah. Cut up some fruit, put it next to it with some flowers coming out and around it.
Are you listening, LaCroix?
Come on, LaCroix.
I know.
Liquid
Death is whooping your ass right now as a company. So, sticking with the themes of friendships and relationships, this year was also, I think, really important for me personally, and a very specific friendship of mine. And that is rekindling the friendship with my former youth pastor. And if you are not familiar, I have a whole episode on me leaving the faith and still being out of that. I don't subscribe to any particular religious denomination, whatever, or any religious belief. But for a while, I was not only a member of a Christian Reformed church, but I baptized myself as a young adult, as a, I think, 17, 18 year old, who then swore off the religion entirely 2 years later. So if you want to see that episode, I believe it's called Losing My Faith in Faith. I don't know what the number is. But in that, I talk about my former youth pastor, Fig Vandermolen. For whatever reason, we're not going to talk about it, but Fig is a nickname that is all I've ever really known him by. I know his real name, but there's no use in even saying what that is because it's not important. His name's Fig. Everybody calls him Fig. And for a while, I kind of believed that if I stepped away from the religion, I therefore must swear off everyone and everything that I held dear when I subscribed to those beliefs. And man, what a dumb thing that was for me to believe. I don't know, maybe it's just getting older, becoming wiser, or just not caring about, I don't know, not dying on so many hills. It was very important to me that him and I rekindled our friendship in whatever way. And then for him to come onto the podcast and talk about it, not just our, you know, initial friendship, but, you know, why he does what he does in youth ministry, not just, you know, in the Christian church, whatever. Again, we'll let the clip speak for itself, but this is more just a celebration of you can be friends with people who you disagree with. And this was a nice reminder of that. This is why I'm intimidated. Okay.
Well, you're doing great. I'm not entirely sure what you're saying, but you're
right.
You're crushing it. Way to go.
It went not just talking to Fig, to talking to anybody who is sure about their faith and about their religion. It's really hard for me to broach that subject because I am so comfortable being unsure, where it's like, there are so many things about the words you live by that I'm willing to accept might be true, but am not comfortable enough living my life by those principles anymore. That like, I'm stuck in this weird limbo of like, I'm a safe guy to be around. I can talk about spirituality and religion, and I can talk about the inner workings of life and stress and death, but there's no God to lead me through a lot of that. And I just wonder how that makes, I don't know if this is a selfish question, but I just wonder how that makes you feel as a person who introduced me to God in general.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're saying, Fig, do you feel bad it didn't work?
You know what? I mean, that's sure.
I mean, you're in my house right now.
Right.
So plenty of my work worked.
Yeah.
Because care is a part of my work.
Sure.
You know, Christ calls me to that. Yes. Also, that's who I've become and grown into. And I've learned that from many people who have cared about me through my life too. Like, care is an important piece in any human relationship, though it sadly is missing from a lot of human relationships now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, when I say a human relationship, I don't mean like a really close friends or married, you know, I mean all of our interactions.
Yep.
Like, you know, how I cared for the total stranger at the grocery store this morning in the checkout when they were having a hard time figuring out their payment. And they felt bad that it was making me late or whatever, which it wasn't. And I was like, hey, it's no big deal.
Right.
That's care in a relationship.
Right.
You know, like that element of care has also been going away in our country. And so, for example, that has worked fine.
Yes. But to be fair, on the other side of that, there was some intimidation. Well, you didn't word it as intimidation, but hesitation to get in touch with me.
Sure. So because of care, and because of the way our culture works and some of the things that I knew you're going through just from, I mean, I still talk to people you talk to.
Yeah.
You know, there has been, and I've learned this not just with you, but other students too, that are your age, you know, that sounded really like I'm super old. I'm not that much older than you.
No, I have realized now that I am older now than when you were when you met
me. You're older now than I was when I met you. Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy.
But so there has been people from the Christian camp, call it what you want to call it, who have thought the best thing to do is that person's drifting away. I'm going to reach out over and over and over again. And I have learned, and many people have shared, that made it worse.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that.
It would have.
Yeah, and I agree. Yeah. So you're right. Not intimidation, but, you know, I play a lot of chess.
Sure.
Not that our relationship's a game. That's not what I meant. No, but, you know, like, I understand that things that I can do can have adverse effects, and I didn't want that either. So sometimes patience is okay.
I think I have maybe an issue.
And look, here you are.
I am here. And that, for what it's worth, before we get off of that, that matters a lot to me. That there is a layer of, you know, even though maybe my expectation was, you know what? I don't even want to put that onto you. I did not expect that you would ever at any point be like, no, you can't come over here. Because we loved each other.
Right.
You were a very deep friend of mine, a dear friend of mine. And there was no, like, there was no period of animosity. I just...
Now, the guest dog did bark a lot when he came over.
That is true. Where is that dog,
I don't know,
by the way?
Ruby. She's probably sleeping somewhere.
All right. I'd say I've consumed about 2.5 of those 4 shots so far. So, pardon whatever physical and auditory changes that are coming in the future. The next clip, I don't know if it... It felt weird to include, mainly because this one happened on January 9th, and it's a solo episode. I think it's the only, no, it's not the only solo episode, but, or of this montage here, but it was one of the first experiments in me doing this by myself and talking about things, not just with and about my friends and my creative life and whatever, but about an extremely personal event. And I think the reason that I included this in the montage or best of or highlight reel or whatever is because, well, to kind of spoil it, my dad had a bit of a medical issue at the beginning of the year, almost immediately turning over. I think it was... It might not have been New Year's Eve or the day of New Year's or New Year's Day or whatever. It might have been the day after, but it was real early on at the beginning of the year if the episode came out January 9th. Anyways, the reason I think it's important to talk about or to highlight here is, A, he is okay, and physically he's maybe better than he's been in a long time. He's lost a lot of weight. To my understanding, none of these signs of medical issues are recurring in his life anymore. So there's a celebration of that. But also, this episode was kind of an important discovery for me to find out what I am and am not comfortable talking about on here. I think I've always been on the show so far vulnerable enough to talk about how much I hate myself, how much I hate my art, how much I hate everything about me and what I do and whatever. But talking about the real personal side of, I don't know, just life and death and stress and family dynamics and complicated relationships. It was just nice for me to be able to talk about this, process it, have some healthy feedback from listeners, and then be like, okay, I think this is actually okay to put out. I think this is fine to reveal to the public audience. So, whatever. We'll roll the clip. It's a bit of a bummer, but you have, you know, the spoiler in mind that everything is okay. And this is the highlight reel. So, yeah, to skip all the horrific stuff that happened when we weren't sure if my dad was going to make it or not, which I think at this point, it's important to sort of spoil the ending that my dad is, you know, okay. He's back to a point where he can engage in full conversations with you. You know, by the time that I left the hospital, there was still some clear exhaustion. But, you know, he seems to be doing fine at this point. I don't know what fine is or what fine really looks like to some people after they have that type of a medical emergency. But in comparison to where he was for a while, yeah, my dad is okay. But yeah, after some of the horrific stuff that we experienced in the hospital, there was a small minute of time, a small window of time, that the confusion really got to my dad. And there was this pretty painful moment for me where when I was in the room with him, just trying to reassure him, like, you know, Dad, you're okay. You know, my dad and I do love each other, but those words aren't really used as often as, you know, maybe either of us would like. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I'm just saying, I know we love each other is the main point. But I'm saying this to him, and I'm kind of patting his hand, and I'm just trying to talk him through a lot of stuff. And there came a point where Judah's getting another big drink of water. Good girl, Jude. There came a point where, you know, I'm trying to just get him to look at me, like look into my eyes and just like hear me saying that it's going to be okay. And he turns and looks at me and starts crying. And he's very confused at this point. This isn't my dad's like intended actions or behaviors or words or anything. He looks at me and he starts crying, and he basically says, like, keep calling me dad, but I don't know who you are. So, you know, I don't have any parents or anyone very close to me that I love with any sort of cognitive issues that I'm aware of, like Alzheimer's or dementia or those types of things. So talking to someone and looking in someone's eyes, who's looking right back at me, who I've known my entire life, look at me and tell me that they don't even know who I am, that really broke me. That part was really hard.
All right, just a few more clips here. This one was actually the most streamed audio version. I don't actually know what the most popular video version was. It probably, honestly, was the episode with John Eberhard or my former band director, Frank Youngman. Whatever, I'm not looking at the numbers right now. All I know is that the most streamed audio version was with my friend Gil Scott Chapman. I think I also talked to him very early on in the year. He was somebody I met out at Mackinac Island, which is just, if you're an out-of-state listener, just this tiny little remote island between the two peninsulas of Michigan. And well, he's not from Mackinac. I don't even know if I just said that he was from Mackinac Island, but I met him on Mackinac Island where he was, he does a musical residency out there. And I don't know, it was just cool to meet him, A, on this weird, whimsical, magical adventure where I was actually, if you didn't hear the episode, occasionally I'll do work for this murder mystery company, and a small subdivision of that murder mystery company is the Princess Party Company, which all has kind of an all-encompassing hold on princess design or princess costumes and characters, as well as superheroes. So they go out to birthday parties, they go out to events, they go out to whatever, that type of thing. And they send out Spider-Man and Batman and Cinderella and Ariel and whatever, all the other princesses and superheroes that you could think of. And for this particular occasion, I happened to be Spider-Man for the weekend, out on this, at this hotel on Mackinac Island. And one of the nights that we were out there, I think it might have been the last night of the first year that I went, this guy, Gil, who did some of the music for one of the, like, dance things that some of the kids did with the princesses, whatever, he did the music for that. And then at the end of the event, he bought us all our drinks for the night. So that was cool. And we got to talking, learned a little bit about what he does. And this clip that you'll see here is just him talking a little bit about going with your gut and kind of following your own creative instincts. And I think it was just an important thing for me to hear, especially knowing that, like, music is, or seeing firsthand that music is a possibility as a career, not just a hobby. So let's cut to Gil.
And the main thing I go with is my gut, man. Like, we could talk theories and we can talk this, that, and the end of the day, but what is my gut telling me to do?
Yeah.
You know, does my gut say yes or does my gut say no? And I always go with my gut because I think that when opportunities come about, I truly believe that it's better to have, even if whatever you choose to do ends up being a disappointment, it's better to have gone through with it and be disappointed than to not ever know what would have happened if I did this.
Yeah.
If I had spoken to this person, if I had answered the phone on this day, if I had chosen this path instead of that path, that is what will cause me to go into a spiral because I'm an overthinker.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, once I commit to something, I'm on this path, and whatever is going to help me achieve what I'm trying to achieve, that's what I'm going to do. And having that, it's kind of like tunnel vision in a way, but it's a tunnel vision that helps you achieve your goals, because tunnel vision can also hurt you because you're not kind of like considering everything else.
Yeah.
But that's really helped me with the imposter syndrome because it rubs off on people and when you're in environments. And because I'm not necessarily an aggressive individual, but when it comes to, like, myself and my art and things of that nature, I guess you can say I approach it aggressive, very passionately. Passionate is a better word. I haven't always been very passionate about what I'm doing either, but life has kind of forced me to, because things happen in your life, right? As you get older, you start to deal with deeper issues and deeper things going on in our lives. And eventually you start to seek some sort of outlet, right? And I'm 32, and having, at this age, I've had some life experiences. I've had heartbreaks, I've had losses and all those things. And we all need some sort of outlet. And what's my outlet? Art.
Yeah.
You know, I'll sit at an instrument and I'll create. And that doesn't shield me from feeling deeply or anything, but at least it's some sort of, I can place my energy there instead of just here and just being, just letting it sit inside me. I can go and sit in an instrument and release all of it into this art and create something beautiful. That's kind of how I see it. It's like osmosis, even though I don't even know what osmosis yeah. is, but I know it's like, you know, it's some sort of changing of energy, you know?
Well, and one of the things that I'm learning, whether it's as I get older or as I do this podcast more, is I used to believe that the difference between an unhealthy brain and an unhealthy brain was the existence of imposter syndrome. So, you know, one day I will cure myself of the imposter syndrome. And what I'm learning is that's not really how it works. You will always feel like an imposter in a new thing. The difference between the unhealthy and the healthy brain is you can either use that imposter syndrome where you're surrounded by people better than you or who know more than you, and use that as a method to fuel yourself to be better than, so you can fit in and so you can feel accepted and welcomed. Or you can embrace it with shame and believe it and say, I am all these things that I think about myself. I am all of these feelings. I am garbage. I am an imposter. I'm not talented. And therefore, I should just stop and I should give up and I should say no to these opportunities, because what's worse than feeling shame, right? So
so yeah, I guess you're just proving what I'm learning is that, like, yeah, we're going to be terrified by these experiences, but they really can shape and mold us into either a better or worse person, depending on how we approach them.
All right. And I think this will be the last clip. It's one of the more recent episodes. I don't know that there's anything particularly special about it. I think this was just fun. A fun exercise in engaging with the audience. This was from the Discussing Your Fears episode, the Halloween episode, where I just reached out and asked you some of your fears. And before going over yours, I talked a little bit about mine. And I think in real time, I discovered that I'm not as afraid of death as I thought I was. So we'll cut to that clip, and then when we come back, I will wish you a happy new year. And I'll list a few of mine, and I've also listed some things that, like, actually, let's start with a list of things I am not afraid of. Me, specifically. And when it comes to this list, I'm talking about things that, like, are common fears of people. So, like, let's start with the easy one, the spiders thing. So there's obviously a caveat. If there's a big, beastly, nasty, spooky, crazy, dangerous-looking spider, I'm definitely not going to fuck with it. I won't. I would prefer to leave it alone. I would prefer that it just disappears magically. I'm not super psyched about touching or holding or being near spiders. And when I was a kid, all of the things on this list were out the window. I was definitely afraid of them. But I think fear has a lot to do with, like, conditioning the mind. So when it comes to, like, spiders or bugs, yeah, they're not great. I don't love them. And if they can actually inflict damage on me, of course I'm going to do everything I can to stay away from them. But when it comes to, like, fearing, like, seeing a spider on the wall, people freak out, and I think it's kind of childish sometimes. I don't know, like, shrieking and, like, standing up on furniture and, like, I don't know. I think that's a bit of overkill, and I'm not afraid of bugs in that way. One of the most public, I mean, this is an example of what I'm doing right now. The number one fear, that's at least the trope-ish way to explain it, the number one fear is public speaking. And again, this is where things kind of get confusing in the definition of the word fear, right? Like, is this anxiety? Am I anxious? Are people anxious about being up in front of people, or are they afraid of it? And if they are afraid of it, like, what is the biological, evolutionary reason to be afraid of something? Like, of course, like, there's instinct that kicks in when it comes to, like, I don't know. If I was near a giant elephant, I would do everything I can to run away. I would probably be, in that moment, quote unquote, afraid for my life. Which actually, I think, does add a caveat onto my next, quote, not fear. But anyways, where was I going with this? Something about being stomped by an elephant. Whatever, that analogy is out the window. But I guess I'm going to immediately cancel out what I'm about to say here. On this list, I said, in parentheses, maybe death. And yes, ultimately, that is the most existential of them all. Like, death is certainly a thing that will happen to all of us. So on one side of that spectrum, I want to believe that I'm like, dude, it's just something that happens to all of us, brother. We're all going to experience it, man. What's the point of being afraid, dude? But the more I think about it, yeah, if an elephant was about to stomp me into the ground, I'd probably be a little afraid in that moment. So maybe there's, like, a short term, I am afraid of pain. I'm afraid of the terrifying reality of being stomped to death by an elephant. But am I sitting at home afraid that one day I might be stomped by an elephant? No. Am I afraid that one day I might be hit by a car or struck by lightning or... No. I don't think that I really... I mean, this is a real-time processing of the question I'm asking myself out loud. I don't think that I think about death in that way. But I'm sure every time my, like, heart skips a beat and I'm like, am I dying? Maybe that's different. I might be afraid of death while I think I'm dying. But while I'm good, I think I'm good. All right. That's that. That was 2023. And as I get to the last sip of my now lukewarm, mostly whiskey, cider and whiskey. A, I'm buzzed. But B, it's important, I think, that I personally reflect here for a moment on 2023. Where was I and where am I headed? Where was I? Where am I? And where am I headed? Where was I? Inspired, but really, really scared. It had not yet been, I don't think. I could check. Let me check right now. I think this is the only time. Maybe I'll try to do some filler talking yet. I do not think yet that it had been officially announced that I was in Midwest Skies. I announced... Oh, yeah. Okay, duh. Never mind. I announced July of 2022 that I was in Midwest Skies. But our first song had not come out yet, that I had been a part of writing. Again, there's a whole discography behind Midwest Skies. Feel free to listen to it. Please do. I still play a lot of it, so it's important that you know those words, because if you come to one of our shows, we're still going to be playing old Midwest Skies songs. But the first song that we recorded when I was with me and Kyle as part of the band, Come Back For Me, came out in March. And it's the, I think, technically most well-received or well-performing songs of Midwest Skies discography. Now, this is in the streaming age. A lot of the old stuff came out, you know, 5 or more years ago. Yeah, streaming was still around, but whatever. The numbers weren't being pushed the same. The algorithm wasn't being fed the same way. Whatever. It was an encouraging peak at what it's like to release music, release something I'm proud of. I still really like that song. I don't... No, let me be careful. Our follow-up song, I'm very proud of. It's the most technical thing I've ever written. I don't think it was as well received, and I got in my head about that. So it made me feel like a fluke. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit whenever the fuck Kyle finally comes on the show. But yeah, we hadn't released any music yet at the beginning of 2023. So I was just kind of playing some shows with them, which was fun, but I don't get paid off of these shows. This is all, any money we make from the band goes right back into the band. So I was broke, been broke, probably gonna be broke for a little bit. But music has come out. The podcast is now fully in to its first year, or to its second year. Maybe one of these days we'll eventually get to the 50th episode. Probably. It's technically in a couple of weeks, but we'll introduce the caveat here. Whatever. David, remind me in my brain that we're going to talk about the trip next week and the next week and a half. But I gotta be honest, I was very scared going into 2023. I'm getting a lot better at being hopeful and excited, but existing in a space of happy is proving to still be a pretty difficult thing for me. But I think I'm getting better. Especially now that, like, I don't know, I've had more time to heal from some of my more recent tragedies. I say recent, whatever, within the last 3 years. And I use the word tragedy as if it's a real tragedy. Just really difficult breakups. And moving and dealing with what it's like still being freaking broke always. And just searching and shaping what I want this career to be. There's a lot left for me to do to get to a sustainable place with my art financially. But 2023 was probably the most important year when it comes to, like, what's the word? Planting my roots, sowing my seeds. I don't know. I met a lot of very important people this year. We started releasing music. I think the next single is not only going to be my personal favorite Midwest Skies song, but I think it's going to be, I don't know, it is so dynamically different. I'm so fucking proud of this. It's a riff. It's come out of a riff that I wrote 10 years ago. And that I feel like I needed this group to help me shape and form into something that I'm insanely proud of. So the next song coming from Midwest Skies is going to be coming in 2024. That's something to look forward to. I don't know. I was supposed to talk about where I was. Now I'm talking about, then I was supposed to talk about where I am and then where I'm going. But it's all kind of part of the same path, right? I don't know. I've been watching some videos about higher dimensions. And so I'm trying to make some commentary on looking at time as if it is a physical dimension rather than some outer dimension that we can only understand in our little tiny pea brains. I won't do that right now. It's probably time that I go, honestly. Especially now that I'm going to chug the end of this year. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty much just room temperature whiskey. Anyways, I should just stop talking. I should say now, though, in a week and a half, January 10th, I will be in Death Valley from the 10th to the 17th of January, which means this episode comes out on Monday the 1st. Maybe we'll get an episode out on the 8th. But if not, the next episode, well, even if so, the next episode will not be likely until the 22nd or 29th of January. Wild. We're not even going to get to the 50th episode until fucking February. Valentine's Day might end up being the 50th episode. So if you want to see me test suitors for the 50th episode, maybe that's what we'll do. Okay, I shouldn't even be on the air right now. I gotta go. Okay. 2023 has been wild. It has been validating, terrifying, humbling, eye-opening. Yeah, really eye-opening. I really learned who my friends were this year. That's one thing. I've got a few. I don't have a lot, but I've got a few. And the few that I have, yes, I have acquaintances, and yes, I have people who I'm friendly with who have been acquaintances and friendly for many, 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 many years. But my real friends, I think I really learned who they are this year. And that's really important, because next year, not only is 2024, you know, the second year of the podcast and the second year of me releasing music with Midwest Skies and whatever, I'll be 30. And that's scary. Why? I don't know. For tropish reasons. This is all stuff we'll process later. We're celebrating 2023. Hurrah, hooray, yay, we did it. We did it. Holy shit. We did it. Year after year, I think. Wow, I slurred that. Year after year, I think. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for this really brutal, blunt. This brutal, blunt statement. But I really do mean year after year, at the beginning of the year, I think, is this the year that I, let's just say, give up, if not the worst case scenario? Is this the year I just stop trying and just settle? Just whatever. But nay, not this year. 2024. I'm setting up too many weird expectations and harsh deadlines for myself, but I think maybe it's important to start leaning into that manifesting thing. 2024 will be the best year of my life creatively. I won't even comment on the personal side because who knows? I don't want to look like a fool if it's not. That would be great if it's also the best year of my life personally. But creatively, I'm going to do so many fucking cool things that by the time I look back next year and listen to this episode, I'm like, dude, you had no idea the cool shit you were going to do this year. And it will be so because it now has been said. So this clip is way longer than I thought it was going to be, so I need to get out of here. 2023, you were a wild one. But to the listener on the other side of this audio stream, I love you so much. You have made this experience worthwhile simply by listening to it, just by being here. By receiving the words that are leaving my mouth, whether through a streaming service or YouTube. The only reason I'm doing it is because you're listening. So even if I'm talking to me in the future, listening back to this episode, yeah, David, you too. Hey, I love you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me, all the support you've given me. If you'd like to support in any other way, I think the plan is to turn the Patreon into something worthwhile this year. So tap the links in the description, head to midwestskiesrock.com for merch, tickets, show info. Head to davidjmund.com for booking me for gigs, for your wedding, or a photo session, or a music video, or to direct a project. But for now, I don't really have anything encouraging or inspiring to say other than keep going, keep doing the thing. That podcast you were going to start, start it. That creative venture you were going to go on, that you keep saying year after year you're going to do, just do it, dude. The number of listeners from the start of this podcast to now, I don't think technically has gone up. I think it's either stayed the same or a few have dropped off, but it's still just as worth it. I don't know why I just said that. Why'd I say that? Maybe to tell you that, like, even if it feels like in the moment, like nobody's listening, nobody's watching, although that may be true, they couldn't listen, watch, or enjoy if you didn't make it. so you should probably just make it anyway. Okay? All right. I love you. Thank you so much for listening, watching, enjoying, supporting. That's all I got. I will see you next year. Okay, bye.